Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. If He isn't yours, He can be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, we're excited about the program, excited that you tuned in. Debbie's got a wonderful song picked out for us. She's going to do here in just a moment or two. It's one of my favorite, actually. Well, I suppose you could say all of hers is one of my favorite. But the title of it is Saved by His Grace. And I'll tell you, friend, if we are saved, the only way we can be is by His grace. Hey, you enjoy the song, will you not? When it's done, I'll be back with the message, the Lord willing.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I'd believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame, that's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved.
Well, friend, how wonderful that is. Hey, let's take a word of God, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13. We're going to see, I don't know, it's a unique passage of Scripture, I think. And I love it, and I think there's a message in it that God would have us to consider this day. As we think about the day and the hour that we live in, as we think about how strange things are as we work our way through this pandemic, this COVID-19 pandemic. It's a strange time, is it not? Hey, I'm glad to be able to get with you with the Word of God through this avenue by which we are meeting today. And I'm glad that you have chosen to be a part of this program today. But I'll tell you this, friend, look, I believe that God is speaking to the hearts of our nations. I believe that God is manifesting Himself in the midst of this great pestilence. I believe that the Lord is trying to get our attention now. I know things are different. I know things are strange, without a doubt. Churches are doing drive-in services. I remember what a drive-in used to be when I was little. It's a place you'd go get popcorn and sit in the back seat or lay up in the back window and fall asleep. Do you remember that? Remember how big those back window areas were? It was an exciting time. You know, it was an exciting opportunity. And this is a unique time, friend. I believe that with all of my heart. But it is a special time. I'm going to read the verses out of the book of 2 Kings chapter 13. I'm going to pick it up in verse 14 and read a few. Then I'll share my text with you and do my best to share the message I believe God has laid on my heart for us today. Now Elijah was fallen sick of his sickness wherewith he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, Take now bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, that is Joash. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, Elijah did to Joash, Open the windows eastward. And he opened it, and then Elijah said, Shoot. And he shot, and he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite into the ground, and he smote three times and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldst have smitten five or six times, then thou had a smitten Syria till thou had consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I'm going to talk to you a little while today by the grace of God, for the glory of God. I'm going to talk to you a little while today about this thought, seizing the opportunity. Seizing the opportunity. I'm going to ask you a question. I thought about using this text for the text. Are you taking advantage or taking advantage of opportunity? I like seizing the opportunity better. They both come out the same way. But look, friend, are you seizing the opportunity that God has given us today? Now, I've already told you things are different. Things are different. I don't think our world will ever be like it once was. In some degree or another, I believe we're going to ever, forever be changed. I just don't believe it's going to be the same. I don't know how to quantify that. I don't know how to explain that, how to elucidate that, or I can't elaborate on that much either. But I'll tell you what I do. I know this has changed us. I know that it has changed us in many, many ways. Many ways that maybe we fear. Many ways that we wouldn't want to think about. But hey, can I tell you why? I want to tell you a few things, friend. God's still in control. God's still behind all of this. Yeah, Satan, listen, friend, is working. I mean to tell you, there is a pestilence that's hit this land. I believe God's speaking through some sort of a judgment in this. I believe God's warning us to get ready for the great judgment that's coming upon this land. It's referred to as the tribulation. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's Jacob's time of trouble. I believe that with all of my heart. But let me ask you this. What are you doing with the opportunity God has given you? You say, preacher, I don't have any opportunity. Everything's changed. I mean, home life has changed. Schools have changed. I mean, to tell you, the way we shop changed. Where we go, where we are limited to go, what we do, how we used to do things, without even thinking about it. Everything's changed. That's right. That's right. But are you seizing the opportunity? Have you forgotten that God's in control? Have you forgotten God's not sitting on the balcony of heaven with sweat on His brow, wringing His hands, saying, My, what are we going to do? God's got this, folks. God's got this. And if God's got this, listen to what I'm going to say. His grace is sufficient for me and for you. Paul tells us that in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. Peter tells us in the book, first book of the bears His name, that God is the God of all grace. So if He's the God of all grace, or since, or in light of the fact He's the God of all grace, He's got grace enough for me and you. He's going to keep us through this, friend. He's going to keep us in spite of this. Hey, can I tell you, God is in control here today. That ought to bring peace to the heart and the mind of every one that professes to know Christ as their Savior. That ought to bring a certain sense of groundedness. Certain sense of security as we're reminded, friend, that the people in the state capitals, the people in the White House, the Congress or the Senate are not in control of this. Those people, the CDC, they're not in control of this. Those people in Wuhan, China are not in control of this. But Almighty God is, listen, friend, listen, when He can't rule among men, He overrules. When something they do, bless God, listen, that brings the judgment of God upon them, unleashes something. Hey, God is still in control in this thing, and we need to remember that He is sovereign. But oh, look, I could say so many things. Let me get down to the message. I don't have all that much time, so let me invest it as wisely as I can. As we look at this passage, book of 2 Kings chapter 13, we find that Joash, who was the king of was it Judah, I believe it was? No, of Israel. He came. Maybe it was of Judah. Well, I don't remember. I get them mixed up sometimes, so forgive me of that. He came to Elijah. I mean to tell you, listen, Elijah was nearing death, and Elijah knew what Syria was doing, how they were coming against. It was against Israel, the northern tribes, I believe it was. But nonetheless, he was coming against the people of God. And oh, Elijah wanted Joash and his people to get victory. And you know what he did? He said, look, Joash, you're gonna participate in this. Listen, sir, ma'am, you and I participate in this. We're in this whether we want to be or not. We didn't choose it. It's here. But hey, listen, please listen right now. What you do with where you're at is your choice. What you do with this time, how you react toward it, how you invest in it, how you live in spite of it, how you grow, how you pray, how you seek God, how you stand, how you order your life, how you do all of these things is light and salt in a world that's dark, dying and going to a devil's hell. It matters. And old Elijah said, look here, Joash, get you a bow. Get you some arrows. Open a window over there toward Assyria. And I want to teach you something. You've got a choice to make. And I know that I believe with all of my heart, though I don't understand this passage as clearly as I'd like, I believe Joash had a choice. I believe he knew some things maybe that I don't understand. But I'd like to have more written in the Word of God about this experience and this event. But I believe Joash knew it. But nonetheless, you know what he did? The Word of God says he did what Elijah said. He laid his hands upon the bow in the air. Hey, Elijah laid his hands upon Joash. Joash probably knew better how to shoot a bow than what Elijah did. But oh, Joash didn't have the power that Elijah had. Oh, listen, folks, we've got power today. Do you hear me? We got the power of the indwelling Spirit. We got the power of God's holy Word. We got the power of His promises. We got the power of His undeniable presence. Hey, folks, let's let Him put His hand on us as He has. But we've got a choice in what we do, whether we seize the opportunity, whether we invest it, whether we smite the ground one time, three times, or 10 times. And you know what? He said, now shoot the air. He said, that's the air of deliverance from the nation of Syria. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to smite the ground. And you know what Joash did? Joash smote it 3 times and he quit. Oh, Elisha got stirred up. He said, oh man, listen, you quit too early. Don't stop now, but it's too late. You've made your decision 3 times. That's all you want is victory over Syria. 3 victories, that's all you want. But if you'd have smote it 5 or 6 times, you could have got complete victory over your enemy. Can I ask you, are you seizing the opportunity this hour? Are you already ready to give up? I mean, you're saying, preacher, this is too much. I cannot take it. Hey, you can by the grace of God. Bless God. Listen, you can because of the promises of God. You can because of the presence of God. Hey, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up the ship. Hey, remember what Paul said? Somebody stood by me this night. And bless God, he's standing by us this day. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to seize this time. We need to take it by the throat. We need to lay hands on it and say, by the grace of God, I'll do whatever I can and need to for the glory of God. Hey, I'm going to come out this successful and victorious on the other side, and by the grace of God, we will. Hey, can I ask you something? Let's be honest, now that we got time that we didn't have. You say, what do you mean, preacher? We got time. Well, look, if you're working at home now, you don't have to fight the traffic. Don't have to fight the crowd. You don't have to get impatient at McDonald's. Don't have to get impatient down at Tudor's. Don't have to get impatient at that convenience store. You don't have to get impatient anywhere. Hey, you're not parked in traffic. You're not worried about being late. You're not trying to find an alternate route to get to work. Hey, you're already there. You're at home. What are you going to do with that extra time? Are you going to waste it? You're going to invest it. Are you going to seize it? You're going to take advantage of it? Hey, are you going to invest it in just frivolous activity, worry or fretfulness? Or are you going to the Lord and invest that thing? What are you going to do with it? It's up to you. What about that additional time that you've got, sir or ma'am, if you're a family man and woman? Hey, listen, I don't think they're doing karate now. They're not doing gymnastics. They're not playing little league ball. I mean to tell you, you don't have to run your kids here and there. You and your husband don't get angry now because you're trying to get the other one to do what you don't want to do that both your children need done. I mean to tell you, maybe quarreling about something else, arguing about something else, but it's not about running after the kids. It's not running yourself to death. Hey, friend, we're not going like we used to. What are you doing with that time? What are you doing with that time? Can I tell you what I think we ought to do? We ought to invest it. We ought to seize it. I mean to tell you, look, friend, we've got time to do some things. Let me give you a couple of ideas, and then I got to pick up a couple of more thoughts. You know what we ought to do? You know what I believe we ought to do? Maybe we could reconnect with our family at the dinner table. Y'all remember when America was a lot more simple and a lot less stressed and a lot more holy and a lot more godly? Hey, friend, listen, we may have been poor in those days, but in many ways we were richer, if you agree with that, say amen. Why don't you do this? Why don't you plan on eating dinner with your family? You can do it every day of the week. Oh, it's okay to go out and get McDonald's again. Stop by maybe one of your favorite pizza places and pick up some stuff. Maybe even go to a restaurant that you frequent. Let them bring it out and carry out. But hey, why don't you try something novel, something new, something that will strengthen us as a nation, as a family, and as a church, and as a people. Why don't you sit around the table? Won't you sit around the table? It's got to be a coffee table in the living room. I could care less. But it's some kind of a table where you all get together. Hey, will you turn off all those mobile devices where the iPhone is shut off or the iPad is turned off, where you get the earbuds out instead of listening to some stranger. You listen to somebody that you love that has your DNA in their body. Hey, listen, friend, there's a lot of things we could do to invest in this time. Don't you agree? Don't you think of that? Don't you think so? What are you going to do? How many times are you going to hit your error on the ground? 3 times and quit? Hey, how about, listen, hey, maybe there's some of you've got an enemy. You've got a pet peeve. You've got a weight and even a sin that does so easily beset you. Why don't you work by the grace of God to get rid of that? Get that thing under control. I mean, to tell you, get total victory over it. Why don't you do that? Why don't you decide that you're going to cleanse your hands, you sinner, purify your heart, you double-minded? Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Can I ask you, are you as close as you used to be to the Lord? Man, I'm telling you, if not, well, I'm afraid, and I don't mean this mean. There have been times I've been hot and cold. There have been times I've been close and far away. There have been times that I've been like Peter upon the mountaintop, and then I've blessed God down in the valley as far as it can go. Hey, listen, friend, listen. I believe God's given us time to draw nigh to Him. If we're not as close as we used to be, we're backsliding on God. And I'm afraid because I believe I know America is totally backsliding on God. There's a lot of places, listen, they're religious, they're spiritual, but their spirituality is only about a half inch deep. I mean to tell you, it may cover 10 miles, but it's not very deep. It's wide, but it's not deep and wide. Listen, friend. Are you seizing the opportunity to get as close to God as you want, as you can? You're as close as you want to. I believe that with all of my heart. Aren't you glad we're not living in Old Testament days down there at the giving of the law at Sinai when God said, "Now look, Moses, you put a fence around this mountain. You don't let anybody down there in the camp get any closer than the ones I give permission to come up and to get close to me, because if they do, even if it's an animal, they're going to die. You keep them away." But now in the New Testament, listen. Bless God, the veil's rent in twain. The way has been made open to you and I. And we can get just as close as we want to get. You remember that old song? I want to walk as close as I possibly can. Hey, what about in this time? Why don't you and I decide we're going to reignite our devotion time to the Lord? I mean, look, friend, if you ain't close to God, you got to spend time with Him. Paul said in the book of Philippians 3:10 that I might know Him. Hey, you don't know somebody, let's spend time with them. And you got to spend time with Jesus in His Word to know Jesus. It's one thing to have an academic knowledge of Him. One thing, have knowledge in the mind and in the head. Total another thing to have it in the life and in the heart because of an experience that you've had with Jesus Christ. Why don't you and I, friend, decide that we're going to embrace this opportunity, seize the opportunity that you and I have to ignite something spiritual in our heart and in our life that we haven't had ignited in a long time. We're going to ignite it because we're going to spend time before God in prayer. We're going to get on our face before Him. We're going to use that time. We're not taking the kids everywhere. We're not commuting to work. We're not doing other things, getting ready for work. You know, doing all those daily routines which are important to be presentable. But we're rather going to present ourselves to God in that quiet time, in that special place where we give us ourselves wholly. Body, soul, spirit, heart, and mind to the thoughts of heaven and heavenly things. We're going to reunite with God. We're going to reignite something spiritual and special in our heart because we're drawing close to God. How about why don't we prepare today for tomorrow? Can I tell you this isn't going to last forever? I mean to tell you this is not going to last forever. Hey, look, friend, there's going to be a change. I told you a while ago, I don't know what that change will be. I don't know how the new normal will be, but I believe it's going to be different. But can I tell you this? You know where battles are lost? Not on the battlefield when you're fighting the battle. Oh, I know it may seem that, but I'll tell you what, the lack of preparation before the battle begins is where the battle is determined whether to be won or lost. So why don't we get ready, friend, for the days that are yet ahead, when we're released from our prisons, when we've got the door of opportunity open to us, when we can get on with life in some degree, when we can, hey, friend, listen, get back to the house of God. I like what one of our young preachers down at church told me one day. We were talking. Maybe he texted. He texted. It was Josh. And he said, "I can't wait till they say, let us go back to the house of the Lord." You remember David said, "I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord." I told Josh, "Now look, buddy, I'm going to steal that." But I told him I like that. And he said, "I'll be glad when they say, let us go back. So will I." But Elijah looked at Joash, got upset at him. You know what he's saying in essence? He said, listen, Joash, God has given you an opportunity. God has given you an opportunity to choose, to invest, for you to seize, for you to take advantage of what's going to happen in the near future. Now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it, sir, ma'am? It's up to you. Doesn't matter what your neighbor does. Doesn't matter what your husband or wife does. Doesn't matter what your son or daughter does. Your mom and dad. It doesn't matter what your preacher and board members, your brothers and sisters. It matters what you do. So we got to do it today. We got to do it today. The Bible tells us, and He gives us some parables over in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And one of them is on the test of being prepared for the Lord's return. Actually, there's two of them of that. One of them has to do with a disciple friend, with a man who was a steward. And, because he thought his Lord was delaying his coming, he could be frivolous with his time. Listen, friend, he's not delaying. Don't let somebody say, if the Lord tarries. The Bible clearly says that the Lord will not tarry. Hey, listen, friend. The Word of God teaches that He's coming again. If you want to hear Him say, well done, someday, you know what you got to do? You got to do well. It's just that simple. You've got to do well. Hey, look, where are you at, friend? What do you need to do? What has God given you the opportunity to do? What has come to your mind during this message? What have you longed for in your heart? Isn't it amazing? And listen to what I'm going to say. My time's almost up. But listen to what I'm going to say. Y'all know when we don't have time, that's when we say, I wish I had time. Isn't that amazing? You know what I think that is? I think it's a cop-out. I think that's a cop-out with all of my heart. I think that's a cop-out. I mean to tell you, when we're so busy, life is so demanding, and we really don't have time. We say, well, if I had time, I would. You fill in the blank. Now look, if you're going to seize the opportunity that God's given us, He's given it to us now. None of us would have chosen this. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here for love nor money if we had the choice, if we had made up our own mind. But here we are. Here we are. Now what are we going to do with it? What in the world are we going to do with it? I'm going to ask you that. What in the world are we going to do with it? You've got to decide. You're going to seize the opportunity. Oh, there's so much more to be said. I've got a couple other points that I don't have time to investigate, even to initiate. But oh, what I have said, listen, is provoking to you. It is to me. So what are we going to do with it? We've got to decide. Only we can do that. Only we can decide what we do, what I do, what you do. So what are you going to do with it? I mean, you've got to decide. You've got to determine, friend, what you're going to do. You're going to seize the time. You're going to waste it. Or you're going to say, well, when I get the time, or I wish I could, now's the time. Look, maybe you're lost and undone. I've not mentioned you in this message, but I'll tell you what. If I wasn't ready to meet Jesus as my Savior, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd do something about it right now. Hey, look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a little prayer. Father, I just thank You for this day, for the opportunity You've given all of us. And I pray that You'd stir our heart, God. Look, You call us to You. You give us the opportunity to get as close as we want. Help us to get close, Father, like the old song says, as we possibly can. Thank You for the day and the hour, and thank You for the fact that You never change, though our world and we do. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make time to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us, and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, PO Box 100004, Charleston, West Virginia 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, PO Box 100004, Charleston, West Virginia 25357. We're on the web at inspirationaltruths.com and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friends, this is a working thing. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.